We are Bob and Lisa Holloway. We've been missionaries for 24 years now. The last 17 years we were in the nation of Venezuela. I don't know if you've followed the news lately, but that country is falling apart very quickly. They elected a socialist president about 17 years ago. When we arrived in the country, they elected him. And it has quickly gone to communism, and the people there are hurting. They're starving to death. There's no medicines. It's just a very sad situation. So I'm going to ask you, if you guys will remember Venezuela, you have their flag hanging right over there. That first flag is the Venezuelan flag. Pray for that nation that God, because you know what, church? These are our brothers and sisters in Christ. This isn't just some foreigners over there. These are brothers and sisters in Christ, people who serve the same Jesus as we do, and they're over there starving to death, and they're over there suffering. Will you lift them up in prayer? Will you please just take some time in your day? If you see anything on the news about that country, lift them up in your prayer. It's a sad situation, but God is going to do something in all this. I believe God is going to be glorified in the middle of this tragedy. And just thank you in advance for that. Well, we did live in Venezuela for 17 years. Recently, the Assemblies of God pulled all of the missionaries out. And believe it or not, we were some of the last ones out. Missions organizations have been pulling their missionaries for a number of years, seeing what was coming. And so they pulled us out. What we did, mostly our focus in Venezuela was Indian tribes in the Amazon. We lived for 8 years in the jungles. It was an 8-hour boat ride from the end of the road to get to our home. Kind of like some of the swamp people down here in South Louisiana, right? So anyway, we lived like that. We ministered among indigenous groups. We preached about Jesus. We raised our daughters in the middle of all that. And God blessed, and we've seen a lot of things happen. And it was more like a training ground for us. I remember getting off the boat in the jungle, and we had a scripture verse and a vision, and that was about it. Nobody trained us how to be missionaries among the indigenous tribes of the jungle. So we did our best. Now we fast forward to 2017. The Assemblies of God has pulled us out, and they say, now what do you want to do? And we didn't know. But see, 3 years ago, or no, 2 years ago, God asked us to go to the nation of Peru and do a 3-week prayer walk. So we went up to Cusco, Peru. And we walked in that city, and there is not a level piece of ground in Cusco, Peru. I mean, it's just hills everywhere. We walked for 3 weeks, and we prayed over that city. And we left, and we thought, okay, that was good. Now what? A year later, the Assemblies of God asked if we would be the point people for the Unreached People Group initiative for all of Latin America. So we accepted that position. We began investigating the unreached people groups of Latin America, and we found out that the biggest one is in Cusco, Peru, where we just did a 3-week prayer walk. So God was kind of beginning to set us up. Because when they pulled us out of Venezuela, they said, what do you want to do? We thought, well, let's go work among the largest unreached people group that we have in all of Latin America. So we are going to Cusco, Peru. Now, this is a huge change for us. We lived in the Amazon rainforest. God sent me from New Mexico, from the Rocky Mountains to Louisiana, to prepare me for the Amazon rainforest. I learned about bugs and humidity, something I'd never confronted in my life before. And now we're going to Cusco, Peru, which is at 11,000 feet of altitude. So we're going from 300 and something feet to 11,000 something feet. It's going to be totally different. And we need God to help us. And that's one reason I'm so anxious to be able to come and greet you this morning, is because we need prayer people to go with us. How many of y'all got a prayer card? Is there anybody that missed getting a prayer card? Raise your hand up, because my sister will give you one. Ms. Chantel doesn't have one. There's three or four right here that didn't get prayer cards. Will you please take a prayer card? Because we need prayer warriors to go with us to Peru. And I'm fixing to give you a list of prayer requests. So I don't know if you want to write them down, if you got a great memory, whatever. But I'm going to tell you why we need prayer warriors. Number one, I'm going to Cusco, Peru, 11,000 feet. That is a difficult altitude to live at full time. Many people cannot live at that altitude. And the truth of the matter is, every Assembly of God missionary who has moved to Cusco, Peru, within 1 year had to leave because of altitude sickness. We are asking God to give us a divine strength in our body, whatever we need to live and function at that altitude. We're going to live at 11,000 feet. We will be working up to 16, 17,000 feet. That's how high the mountains go. They have snow-capped peaks year-round down there in South America. And we're going to be working in that altitude. We need God to touch our bodies. Amen? So y'all willing to pray with us about that? All right. Second prayer request. We are going to work among the Quechua Indians who speak Cusco Quechua. Now, I explained in Sunday school class what that means, how they are an unreached people group because they are a cluster of people who speak a different language, less than 2% evangelized. I want to touch their heart. I speak Spanish. I speak Spanish pretty fluently. I can get around in Latin America quite well, but you know what? That is their business language, not their heart language. If I want to reach their heart, I need to learn their language, so I need to learn Quechua. Y'all, I'm 55. You know what it's like to learn a new language at 55? Old dog, new tricks, that's right. And I want to learn Quechua. I want to learn it very desperately. I almost said very bad, but no, I want to learn good Quechua. So, and my wife wants, I'm not going to tell y'all how old she is, but she wants to learn it too. So we are going to go and attend language training for 3 or 4 months, and then our plan is to go and move into a village and just live among them and pick up the language of Quechua. Will you pray with us about that? God's got to help this old brain, because sometimes I walk out of the room and can't even remember what I was going after, and I think I'm going to go learn a new language. I need God's help. Amen. That's the second prayer request. Third prayer request. If you know anything about history, the Quechua Indians are the direct descendants of the old Inca Empire. The Incas ruled most of the western side of Latin America, all the way from Colombia down to northern Argentina and Chile. They controlled a vast part of Latin America. In their culture at that time, they sacrificed human beings to their gods. Inti, who is the sun god, and Pachamama, who is Mother Earth. These are their gods. This is who they sacrificed people to. Now, I want you to, Cusco was the political capital of the Inca Empire. So we are moving right into the middle of where all of this happened. If you look at your prayer card, you see that big picture, that's Machu Picchu. That is a big tourist trap. People from all over the world come into Machu Picchu. The city of Cusco is about the size of Shreveport, Louisiana, maybe Baton Rouge, I'm not sure. About 45 jumbo jets land in Cusco every day bringing tourists. And you know why they come to Cusco? Spiritual tourism. Spiritual tourism. You can listen to their conversations on the plane. They are coming to get a blessing from a witch doctor. They're coming to receive this type of New Age training. They're coming for this ritual, that ritual. They are coming, and we have watched them literally on the streets have witch doctors pray over them. And they come to Machu Picchu, which was the spiritual capital of the Inca Empire. It's a 5-day walk or a 3-hour train ride. Take your pick if you want to go from Cusco to Machu Picchu. We chose the 3-hour train ride. I plan on walking it one of these days, though. It's called the Inca Trail, and it's on my bucket list. See if we make it. Now, take your prayer card and flip it like that. Look at the mountain. What do you see? No. Does anybody see the face in the mountain? See that big nose right there sticking out? Now y'all seeing it? You see the face? That is what the Incas saw. They saw the face of a god in the mountain, and that is why they built their spiritual capital in that place. So when you look at your prayer card, maybe you want, some of y'all hang prayer cards on your refrigerators, hang it like that so you can see the face. And you can begin to take authority over that face, because church, this is the third prayer request. I believe that we are getting ready to walk in to some of the most intense spiritual warfare that we have ever known. And we've lived among witch doctors for a lot of years. We've worked among them. I believe that the reason God has asked us to go to Cusco is because he wants to break the spiritual stronghold that the Incas have held over Latin America for so many centuries. Church, it's time for chains to be broken. Amen. And we are going to go into the middle of some of the devil's territory. And it's not because we're great and awesome people. It's because God's great and awesome. And he wants to break this. And he's calling a team together. We actually have a number of families who are moving to Cusco. And together, we're going to do this. But with you guys, we're going to do this. Amen? So we're asking you to come to Cusco with us. Now, I'd love for y'all to come in person. I think maybe we can talk Chantel out of New York one year, and she can come to Peru for one of her trips. Pastor Mo can do... We can do the bucket list and do the Inca Trail together. There you go. But we're asking you to go every time you look at this card, every time God puts it on your heart, if he wakes you up at 3 o'clock in the morning, to go to Peru. Amen. Because we need God to work. We need God to show up. I am not stupid enough to think that I've got enough good strategies and methods to believe that I'm going to go in there and do something on my own. I know without a shadow of a doubt we need a move of God. Church, we're asking you to pray with us and go with us so that God will show up in Peru. Amen? Raise your hand if you're willing. You see that, God? Look at all them hands. Thank you so very much. And I believe you mean that when you raised your hand. God's good. Cusco is a large area. It's a state. It's a city, but it's also a state. And the state is quite a bit larger than the state of Louisiana. There are 1.5 million Cusco Quechua that live in that region. 1.5 million. Now, there's over 5 million Quechuas total in Peru, but they live among 23 different dialects. So, The Cusco Quechua are the largest group that speak one language. That's why we need to learn their language. They live in about 5,000 communities, villages. Now, just so you understand, a village could be four or five houses grouped up together, and they put a name on it, and it becomes a village. And there might be a village sitting on this side of the mountain, and the only way to get there is down into this valley and back up the other side of the mountain. And it could take 3 or 4 hours to walk from this village to that village, and then sit there and look at one another. I mean, they are some steep mountains. They are all over the mountains, these villages. 5,000 of them, from what we understand. According to church leadership, there are about 200 evangelical churches among these 5,000 villages. So that means we have 4,800 villages that need a church. That is our heart, church. We want to plant 4,800 churches. I know y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. Plum crazy. But you know what? I believe that our God has began preparing us. He began preparing us about 3 years ago when he sent me to Kenya, Africa. I sat under a man who in Thailand planted 700 churches in 6 years. And then he went to India and did it again and planted 400 churches in 3 years. God has begun revealing strategies and things to his church so that we can work more efficiently, we can work faster. I believe God wants the Great Commission fulfilled, amen? I don't think he just spouted off those words to go in all the world and preach the gospel just because he was at a loss for anything else to say. I believe it was with purpose. And we are in the middle of fulfilling that purpose, amen? Fulfilling the purposes of God. So I learned from this man in Africa. And we came back to Venezuela and we began putting some of it into practice. It's called biblical storytelling. How many of y'all have ever heard of this? I know your mind's probably going back to Sunday school, right? With the flannel graph board. That's basically it. But you know what? It's not just for Sunday school. It's not just for children's church. Because these cultures that we have been working among all these years and the culture that we're going to continue to work among, they are oral cultures. That is how they learn. A lot of them can read and write but choose not to. A lot of them can have been to college even, but that's not really how they learn. They learn by listening. They pass down traditions through stories, right? That's how their culture stays alive. Statistics say 60 to 70% of the people in the world are audio learners. How many of y'all would rather watch the movie than read the book? Raise your hand. There's your audio learners right there. You're oral. My daughters are like that. My oldest daughter, she'll read books that thick. She hates television. My youngest daughter will wait for 10 years till the movie comes out. That's the way they learn. If these statistics hold true, on Sunday morning when Pastor Mo says, open your Bible to Zechariah chapter 3, all of you are capable of doing it. You can find Zechariah, you can read the words on the page, but they don't connect here. The only way they connect here is if Pastor Mo has a good story to back up or to reinforce the words that are on the page. That's where the connection is made, is through that story, through that illustration. That's how oral cultures learn. So that's how we teach the Bible. Is through stories. And some of you might think, well, that's pretty easy. It's actually not that easy. When you start doing biblical storytelling and creating the stories, you learn a whole lot about the Bible that you thought was in there that's really not in there. And you start seeing the Bible through a whole different set of eyes. So this morning, I'm going to tell you a Bible story. How's that? Since it's Mother's Day, we're going to do a story about a mother. And at the end of the story, you guys are going to participate, but only the women. It's Mother's Day, so we're going to let the mothers participate. I'm going to ask you a series of questions, and the mothers are going to respond. Now, this is a typical church service in the setting of a village on the mountainside of Peru. So, as you listen to this story, I'm sure you've heard it. You may have even heard a sermon preached on it in the past. I want you to try to erase all that. Listen to it with fresh ears. Listen to it as if you've never heard this story before. And then we're going to talk about the story afterwards. Is that okay? I know this is a little bit different. This isn't your typical church service in Berwick, but we're going to do it Peru style this morning. Is that all right? Okay, so I'm going to tell you a story. It goes like this. There was a woman named Hannah. She lived with her husband. And as was acceptable back in those times, he had a second wife whose name was Peninnah. Now, Peninnah had children. But God had not enabled Hannah to be able to have children. And there was a constant conflict between these two women because Peninnah used to make fun of Hannah and get her all upset because she lived with the shame of not being able to bear children. Now, as was the custom in those days, this family every year traveled for numerous days, and they would go to the temple and they would offer sacrifices to God and worship God. And the man would give Peninnah and her children meat so that they could have it to worship God. But he would always give twice as much to Hannah because he especially loved her. Now this year, as they were making the journey to the temple, Peninnah was mocking Hannah and got her so upset that she was just crying and carrying on and she couldn't even eat. And Hannah's husband looked at her and he said, "Hannah, why are you carrying on like this? Am I not better to you than 10 sons?" But Hannah wanted a son. And when they arrived in the town where the temple was at, Hannah went into the temple. And there she began to cry uncontrollably. And she poured out her heart to God and said, "Lord, if you would look down on me and remember me, and give me a male child, I will dedicate him to serve you all the days of his life." Now, the priest, who'd been sitting by the door and watching Hannah, he saw her mouth moving, but there was no sound coming out, and he just thought, she's drunk. Now, when Hannah got up to leave the temple, the priest stopped her and said, and scolded her for being drunk. And Hannah said to him, "It's not because of wine that I'm behaving like this. It's because of sadness." And Hannah told the priest about the vow that she had made to God. And the priest said to her, "Go in peace, and may God grant you the request that you've asked of him." They went home, and Hannah became pregnant. And she gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel. And as soon as he was weaned, Hannah took the child and took some meat and went to the temple and worshiped God. And there she dedicated Samuel to the service of the Lord. Hannah went home. Samuel stayed behind and he served God day and night in the temple. And every year, Hannah would return to worship God and offer sacrifices. And she would bring clothing to the child. And the priest said to her, "May God raise up many descendants to replace the one that you dedicated to the Lord." And God smiled upon Hannah and was gracious to her. And she had 3 sons and 2 daughters. That's the end of the story. Y'all heard this story before, right? You've heard sermons on it. Okay. I'm going to ask you some questions about the story. Now, remember, this is for the women only to respond. So, guys, you're out today. And we're talking about the story, not my storytelling capabilities. So, let's don't go there. Let's talk about the story. Is there something that you liked about this story? Something that grabbed your attention? Something that impacted you? Tell me something you liked about this story. The lady was faithful to pray and believe. Amen. Anybody else? She returned every year, still thanking God. Anybody else? So she honored her vow and was dedicated to it. Anybody else? Focused on God and not on her rival, Peninnah. Yep. Anybody else? Something you like? Come on, ladies. I know y'all talk more than this at home. Amen. and ask and ask. She never gave up. Perseverance. Full trust in God. No wavering. No if, maybe, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Amen. Kingdom-minded mothers. Kingdom-minded mothers. That's great. I bet there probably was some. Anybody else? Something you liked about this story? Something maybe that impacted you? Does God really do that? God blessed her with more children. More than what she even asked for. Wow. Anybody else? All right. Okay, go for it. When we do this in a village, it could go 2 or 3 hours because people just, if they get into it, they start talking, and that's what we want. God blesses, can bless the womb of the barren. Amen. Anybody else? All right, let's go to the second question. Is there something in this story that you didn't like? Maybe it gave you heartburn. There are stuff in the Bible that gives us heartburn. You didn't like the other wife? You know what? I wouldn't have liked it either. The one's all I can handle. Anybody else? Something you didn't like? The priest passing judgment before he knew what he was talking about. No discernment there, was there? Anybody else? And it's funny because I read different versions of the Bible when I make these stories. And in one version, she was referred to as Hannah's rival. Yep. Yep. There's, you know, and motherhood is one of those things. I think it's, you see little girls carrying around dolls, and it's because I believe that something God has placed in these little girls. It's a desire. My wife desired motherhood. When we got married, before I married her, I told her there's no kids involved in this. I don't want children. I felt unwanted as a kid, and I thought there's no need of making more of them. And I told her up front, no kids. She went to praying. Now, we were married 10 years before we had our first kid, but God answered prayers. Amen. It's amazing, like our sister said, when a woman desires to be a mother. And in that culture there, it wasn't just about, you know, having a kid. It was having your honor. You lived in shame if you were not able to bear children. So this Hannah wanted a child, but she also wanted her honor restored in the community. So important what my sister there said. Anybody else? But she was especially loved. Yeah. Favoritism in the marriage. Anybody else? Something you didn't like? Okay, question number three. What do you see in this story about the nature and character of God? God is faithful. Good all the time. Nothing is impossible. The God who hears. He cares about what we think and feel. Imagine that. The divine caring about the lowly and earthly. He wants his will to be done in our lives. Amen. Anybody else? Individual love. Focused on one woman. What's that? Okay. Sometimes he makes us wait. Oh, I hate when that happens. Not fun at all, is it? Anybody else? The nature and character of God. Newer heart. Amen. Anybody else? Knows our desires. Y'all acting like God's a personal God. Okay. Everybody's at a loss for words again. So we're going to go on to the next question. What do you see about the nature and character of man in this story? Mankind, not the husband, mankind. Perseverance on Hannah's behalf. Grief. Greed. Okay. Patience. Arrogance from Peninnah. Ain't none of us never carried on like Peninnah, though, have we? Anything else? What do you see about man? The nature and character of man. Ah, so you think that husband did not understand what Hannah was going through. Am I not better than 10 kids for you? I'm the bomb. I'm the man. I think, go ahead. Hannah was faithful. Driven by love, moved by love in their life. I think it's neat how God, I see because they were going to the temple to worship God every year. And although it was a tradition, it was the customary thing to do in that culture, that's where God met them at when they came to worship him. I like that. I see that about man, that as long as we are faithful to go and worship God, I believe we're going to find him. He's going to show up and honor us when we are faithful to worship God. I see that about man. because this story took place quite a number of years after God set up the whole temple worship thing, a lot of years. But through all those years, it had been passed down, this is how we come before God. And they honored that, and God honored them. Anybody else? Mm-hmm. He pays attention to our behavior in the temple. Amen.
As they were talking, whoever it was mentioned the priest judging her, that she was drunk. So many times we judge a book by its cover. We don't know. We have a tendency to judge them by the way we were raised, by our family, by our ideas of things, our view. You don't know where a person came from. You don't know if they didn't have a mother, or they didn't have a father, or they came from an abusive situation. Everybody looked down on him because she was barren. That's a curse. In their eyes, God cursed her.
Mm-hmm. So mankind, if somebody's different from us, somebody doesn't have the blessing or favor of God on their life that we have, you think we can tend to look down on that and judge? They're not acting in the temple the way that they're supposed to. She's over there crying and carrying on. You gotta be drunk. She's not singing that song the way we do it. She ain't right. Wow. Nature of man. We see it in a lot of aspects of this story. Amen. Anybody else? The nature of man. Yeah. Amen. So it was a conflict between the two women on both sides. It wasn't a one-sided deal. Yeah. Okay. I thought you were going to say something. We normally ask 7 questions. We'll get to the others. I've asked you 4. What did you like about this story? What did you not like about this story? What do you see about the nature and character of God in this story? And what do you see about the nature and character of man in this story? Now comes what to me is the most important question out of all of them. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And the question is this: what is the Holy Spirit saying to you through this story? You personally, for your life. Some of you, it might not be nothing. Some of you may have just heard a nice little story, but somebody here, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. So let's take a few minutes and just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would come. We know you're here. You said that where 2 or 3 are gathered together in your name, that you're in our midst. We know you're here. Lord, we've heard your word. It's your word. It's not just some story that I made up. And God, we ask that you would come and speak to us through your word. Lord, if there's something that you want to reveal to anyone, if there's something that you want to speak to us about our personal life, Lord, we ask that you would come right now and that you would do that. Just take a few minutes and let the Holy Spirit talk to you. You know, it doesn't take a real long time for the Holy Spirit to speak. And sometimes we get very uncomfortable with the silence. So now, is there anybody who would like to share what the Holy Spirit spoke to you? Maybe as an encouragement to the body or a testimony. Is there anybody here this morning that... Amen. Draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. That's what Hannah did. Pray without ceasing. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. Pray without ceasing. Draw near to him. He'll draw near to you. Amen. Praise God. Anybody else? Well, we'll let, because if the Holy Spirit spoke to a man, we'll let y'all have a voice now. Amen. Hannah stayed pure instead of fighting back with Peninnah. Anyone else?
Brought to mind Abraham and Isaac. Is there any, and Abraham felt the same way about Isaac that Hannah did about Samuel. And God says that you have to leave mother and father.
Amen. Amen. It was the priestly blessing, I think, that gave Hannah encouragement to continue believing God when he said, go in peace and may God grant you the request that you've asked of him. That was a priestly blessing. And I believe God used it because in the Bible, I left it out of the story, but the Bible says, and Hannah left the temple and went and got something to eat. And she was happy. She received that priestly blessing, but she knew that God was the one who's going to do the miracle. Amen. You know, and I want to speak to you just for a moment real honestly as a missionary. I've lost all of my grandparents since being on the mission field. I've lost my parents since being on the mission field. My mother-in-law since being on the mission field. I was with my father for 2 or 3 days before he passed. We didn't know how sick he was. We flew back to Venezuela, and within 2 weeks, He was gone. So I had to get back on a plane and come back for his funeral. My wife, we flew in from Venezuela and landed in Dallas. The next day, I was going to put my wife on an airplane to Chicago to go visit her mother. She arrived at the airport. She said, nobody was here to pick me up. And when I called, they told me, Mom's dead. She got within 100 miles of seeing Mom. It's not easy, church. And I'm not saying that to say, look at us, what we go through. What I'm saying is, church, when we dedicate our children and our grandchildren to the Lord, it is not easy. But are you willing? Hannah made that trip. She took the kid to the temple and dropped him off because she made a vow to God. Grandparents, don't hang on to them. Be willing to let them go for the kingdom. Parents, be willing to let them go for the kingdom. It's not easy. I'm telling you firsthand. When our oldest daughter first went to college, we took her to Evangel in Springfield, Missouri, and we dropped her off. I'm not a crier, but I had to pull over to the side of the road because I was crying so hard I couldn't even see. Because I was leaving my first behind and we were headed to an airport to get on a plane and go back to Venezuela. It's not easy. But I believe it's worth it. He who has left houses and land and mother and father and brother and sister for my sake and for the kingdom will inherit in this life and eternal life. Amen. Anybody else, something God spoke to you? Okay, those are the five questions, and we've had our altar time. We've had time for the Holy Spirit to come and speak to people. And church, believe me, we've seen altar service last about 3 hours in Cusco, people getting filled with the Holy Spirit, just after hearing a story about the day of Pentecost. God works in these altar times. For us here in the U.S., this is just kind of a weird service. But now we're going to tell you about the other two questions. The sixth question is, how are you going to remember this story? Can y'all remember this story? You think? How are you going to remember it best? Tell it. That's how I memorize these stories. I walk around and I listen to it. I record it on my phone. I listen to it and listen to it and listen to it. And then I go tell it and tell it and tell it. And the more I tell it, the better I remember it. That's the best way to remember stories. Question number 7, who are you going to go tell it to? So now, I just put the ball in your court. Now, I have just charged you with the job of being an evangelist and sharing the Word of God because you just received the Word of God. God just spent time ministering to you through His Word. Now you have a responsibility to go and share it with somebody else. So the next time we get together to have a church service, I'm going to ask everyone in the room, did you go and tell the story to the person that you said you were going to go tell it to? If your answer is yes, how was it? Did God touch their lives? Did you see anything? If you say no, I'm going to say, why not? Is there something that I can help you with? So that we can go and tell this story to this person. You felt like God told you you needed to tell this story to this person. The ball is in your court. You are an evangelist. And each person in the church becomes an evangelist because they have the word in their heart. Believe me, these oral cultures, when they hear a story, they remember the story. I might have to repeat the story 2 or 3 times, but after 2 or 3 times, they've got the story and they go out and they begin to tell the story. And church, that is how the man planted 700 churches in 6 years in Thailand. He told them the story and he made them responsible to take the story out. People would get saved. People would get healed. The dead were raised through storytelling, church. Because faith arose in God's word. And that's how we are going, with the help of the Holy Spirit, that's how we're going to plant 4,800 churches in the mountains of Peru, telling stories and making them responsible to go and share that good news with others. Amen. Thank you all so much. God bless you.
Wow. Chantel asks, can she say something? And it's Mother's Day, so how can I say no? So Chantel's going to come, and then if my ushers are going to get ready, we're going to receive an offering for the Holloways. You know, this has been a little different church service. But you know what? Different's okay, isn't it? And we have a part in every soul that they're going to reach. And you know what? Maybe we need a few more of these different services, because Brother Bob's going to put that the ball in his people's court for them to go out and make a difference. And it sounds kind of like what we did a few months ago, right? When I told you to go invite somebody to church, go tell somebody about what God is doing, and look around. Our first Sunday, we had 25, and we've got a few more today. Keep telling the story. Keep telling your story. Keep telling his story, and watch God change people's lives through those stories. Sean, why don't you come and share, and then we'll receive an offering.
Hey, guys, I was thinking while he was talking, you know what makes a mom in our standard of, in our minds, is you have children. That makes you a mom, right? And I was just thinking about that, and the Lord was just saying, he was just downloading this to me. You know, it's because there was a seed that was planted inside of us that grew, and then 9 months later, you know, we had a baby, and then, you know, 14 years later, they're sitting here with you, and it all started with a desire and a seed. And it's the same thing spiritually, I think, that there was a seed somewhere in your hearts that was planted for the world. There's a seed in our hearts that was planted for our community. You know, since we've been here, one of the things we said is that we're asking God to give us Berwick as our inheritance. And I believe God said he was. And so that's a seed that was planted. It began to grow. And now we're starting to see some of the harvest of that. And, you know, anytime there's seed in our lives, it's important to us. I mean, our children, our offspring, our flesh and blood, man, we would do anything for them, right? I mean, and within confines, boys. But we would do anything we could for them, right? Because they're our seed. When God plants that seed in us spiritually to reach this community, to reach the people of Peru, Honduras, wherever, we'll do anything to see that happen, what Hannah did. Hannah's like, I'll do anything. And I was just thinking, you know, on Mother's Day, real crazy to have a missionary in on Mother's Day. We know it doesn't happen often. But what a great opportunity to have a missionary on Mother's Day, because I was just reading this, and I'm going to have to put on my glasses, as you all know. Okay. In Genesis, I'd like to just read in Genesis 1 and 28. Well, actually 27, it says this. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. So God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth, rule over the earth. And then we go to Matthew 28. So God said that, and in Matthew 28, Jesus is saying to his disciples, verse 16, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, because of the authority, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. God said, be fruitful and multiply. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And I just saw a beautiful cross connecting those two statements, from God the Father and from Jesus the Son. And this is exactly what we're called to do, whether it's to Peru or whether it's to Berwick. We're called to be fruitful and multiply, not only physically but spiritually, and to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And I said this in Sunday school, but you know, the way I see it, we have two choices. We go or we send. And if God's called you to Berwick, then that means he's called you here. So we send people into the world, right? As our spiritual seed. And you know, when we give in the offering, that is planting seed into fertile ground. And where your seed is, or where your money is. And you'll have investment there. So when we have these guys back in 4 years or whenever you come back to Itinerate, we can see the harvest of that. And the true test is when we get to heaven and we see all the spiritual seeds, all the spiritual harvest that we had a part of, all the people that were reached in Peru because we sent someone, because we were obedient to stay here in Berg where we're called to, or go to Peru where they're called to. So guys, I think on Mother's Day as a mom, I'm saying, you know, the greatest gift God's given me after my salvation is my husband and my children. Then the next greatest gift is he gives me is the privilege to sin and to produce a harvest in all the world, because that's God's heart. So I just wanted to share that with you this morning.